Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
Skies 1-2 deep left center field. Jake Myers will watch this one go. Brent Rooker has tied the game at 2 here in the 8th inning. Home run number 36 on the year. RBI number 102. And he extends his on-base streak to a Major League best 22 consecutive games.
Damn, who knew the A's had somebody who had 36 home runs and 100 RBIs?
I was about to say the same thing.
No, Clint did. Clint said he would not pitch to him. He would. You said you treat him like Yordan Alvarez. I remember we had that conversation.
There's no sense in it.
I said I think that's a little. That's a little strong.
To be fair, this didn't just come up in conversation. We talked about this last time. That the Astros played the A's. But like, he's really the only guy you got to worry about in his lineup.
Ryan Pressly gave up a bomb there, and now the Astros. Why in the hell did he not run? The Astros have this game tied with a runner on here in the 8th inning. They look to try to get out of this and try to win it here in the later innings. But it is 2-2, and Clint, this is why right now. Like, I'm so glad we take a look and judge pitchers' win and loss records completely differently than we used to, because. Like, you know, Yordan is now taking off this game, and he pitched a great game, 6 1/3. He gave up one run. Who did I say, Yordan?
You said Yordan.
I just watched him make a good catch. I meant Framber. Framber pitched his tail off as he's done, and now he is. He gets a no decision in this game because Pressly wasn't able to hold it together. But this is big, Clint. A sweep here, obviously, they still have a 3.5-game lead against the Mariners. But I've continued to say the race here is to make sure you have as much distance between you and the Mariners before that September 23rd 3-game set. And right now you're 3.5 games up and trying to avoid getting swept by the A's. You really want to go on and win this game.
Yeah, look, I mean, it'd be nice to not get swept by the A's. Yeah, I mean, that would be preferred at this point in time. You've got the luxury of being able to survive some of these types of series. But when it's all said and done, if the Mariners do sneak up on you, it's going to be moments like this. Yep. Is why.
Yeah, yeah, that's a tough one. Swept by the A's. If this happens, and then the Reds in a week or so period, but 2-2 right now. Jason Hayward has the 2-run homer for them at this point. They lose what they lose last night. They lose in extras the game before on the bunts, but they look to avoid to lose tonight. As we said, Framber continues to do his thing. I think you saw your top two starters the last two nights. Even though Hunter Brown struggled a bit, 5 runs in 5 innings yesterday, I heard it best from our guy this morning. I was taking the kids to school. Sean Pendergast said it doesn't feel like Framber and Hunter Brown are doing any auditioning. They know they're 1-2 right now in the rotation in the playoffs. The other guys are the ones auditioning.
Give us that great info, Sean.
There you go, Sean. They're auditioning for this one. So another great performance for Framber, as he put it together. And that's at least you want to hang your hat on. Your starting pitcher gives up one run, you know, and gets into the 7th inning. So that's the big thing. But you got to have your guys pick them up. And when you get Yordan up at the plate, hopefully he can help the Astros get back in this thing.
Yep. Can't let the Mariners catch you by the A's and the Reds biting your ass.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one to take there. As the Astros are tied in the 8th inning, we'll keep you updated on what's going on there.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint, the Texans and Bears injury report is out. I'll, of course, start with the Texans first. They've had the same two guys not practice today that didn't practice yesterday. So that is one to watch. Clint, we've talked about this for a couple of years. The likelihood of you playing goes down when you miss the Wednesday and Thursday practice, and you miss both of those heavy practice periods. Friday is usually a very walkthrough-like calm practice, and then Saturday, and then the game.
Yep.
So today, Dalton Schultz is the big one. MJ Stewart, who hasn't practiced for a while, didn't play last week. But Dalton Schultz with an ankle didn't practice two games in a row. So there is a strong possibility that he doesn't play, and they got to roll with Cade Stover and Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, look, I think Dalton Schultz is a caliber player that could potentially miss the two big days, and they would trust enough to still play. MJ Stewart, he ain't that caliber. But I do think Dalton Schultz is a guy, knows the offense, second year of the offense, veteran in the league. Let's be honest, there's not a backup that does what he does. Brevin's coming, but he ain't Dalton Schultz yet. I would say that if Dalton Schultz can go at any point in time, he's more than likely going to go. But it is something to keep an eye on. Not practicing Wednesday and Thursday is never a good thing.
No, it's not. And I know you talked about it a bit there, but do you feel comfortable with those two in there in this particular game? If Dalton can't go, do you feel pretty good about what they can do? Do they got to change anything? What they can do with Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover?
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, we saw Cade Stover in like a fullback role last week. I think that'll be a lot of what they do, at least early on. They're going to force the Bears to stop that. And then as you watch the film, I talked a lot yesterday about Kenyon Green, man. But I really went back and honed in on the edge players on the offense, the tight ends, the receivers blocking. And, man, I tell you, none of it is – these guys just aren't maulers at the tight end position, or damn sure not the wide receiver position in terms of blocking for the run. But they're willing and they're able and they're physical. And so, Brevin Jordan could do some things that Dalton Schultz, you know, brings to the table. The only thing you lose that you just can't replace with the current personnel if you lose Dalton Schultz is that experience, that safety blanket for C.J. Stroud. You know, you see the pressure coming, you know to give your eyes to the quarterback, you see the pressure coming, break your route off early, certain zones, you know he knows exactly when and how to settle down in that zone and make himself available to the quarterback. And we heard C.J. Stroud talk about, you know, last week they left a lot on the field. And so, you know, I think when you put two and two together, Dalton Schultz was probably going to be a big part of the answer or the adjustment this week. So, you hope you got that guy, because you miss his experience if he's not out there.
Yeah, and that's an ankle injury again with Dalton Schultz. Hopefully he is able to go, but just honestly, it's just historically not a great sign if you miss the Wednesday-Thursday practice. We keep you updated on that. The Bears, Clint, they don't have theirs out yet. The ones we're watching, though, is DeMarcus Walker, who had four quarterback hits in the game on Sunday against the Titans. He didn't practice yesterday. He has a foot issue. Rome Odunze, their other first-round pick, wide receiver, he didn't practice with a sprained MCL with the knee, so there's thoughts that he won't go. And Keenan Allen also didn't practice yesterday with a heel injury. Those are the three main ones to keep our eye on to see if they won't practice. And again, just like what we just talked about with Dalton Schultz and MJ Stewart, if they don't practice on Thursday as well, if we get word they haven't practiced on Thursday as well, that could be very problematic for them. But Rome Odunze is the one that really looks like he's not going to be able to go with a sprained MCL.
Well, I mean, they're all impact players, right? That's the problem there, man, is you got dudes, like, if they're going to miss two of their top three wide receivers, you got a rookie quarterback, look out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, DJ Moore can go, but damn, I don't know if he can carry the load by his damn self. So, boy, you go from catching a team with, yes, a rookie quarterback, but a lot of skill, man. Wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, they're awfully skilled, man. If they're missing half of their skill players in a game, boy, you're catching them at the right time. So, definitely worth keeping an eye on all of those guys. And then DeMarcus Walker, as you said,
yeah,
one shot out of the shoot today or last week of the season, he was awfully impressive.
Yeah. So that's the latest injury-wise. Dalton Schultz for the Texans, the big one to watch there to see if he is going to be able to make it through.
Big three at three, number three.
All right, Clint. There's a big one tonight. There's a big one. I wonder how much Tyler has on this game. I'm sure he's got bets on this one, but there's a big one tonight as the Buffalo Bills will take on the Miami Dolphins, and a lot of people believe these are the two top teams in the AFC East, and obviously these are two teams that are both on the schedule for the Texans. They'll play the Bills a little sooner than they will the Dolphins, but this is a big game. You've got Josh Allen and Tua. Many people don't look at them on the same level, but if you look at their last 30 games, they're actually really, really close. obviously, Josh has more rushing yards, but Tua has more passing yards. This is a big, big game in the AFC, and Josh Allen, this is the best opponent we'll see him have to play, them have to play since they've kind of changed their offense this year with the parts.
Well, look, I think that's the interesting thing here is the contrasting styles offensively. The Bills are no longer that vertical pass game where they're going to just put pressure on defenses constantly and be willing to take all the risk that comes with that. They're going to be more, at least I think they're going to be more ball control with the quarterback run and get you into the fourth quarter and then really pound you and outscore you.
Pause.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, Unc. And the Dolphins are just as fast break as anybody out there. It's the same old song and dance with them as last year. One of the most explosive, if not the most explosive, offense in the game. And so the contrasting styles are what's going to be fun to watch. I am anxious to see Josh Allen and this new offense. I've said it a million times. When you've got a quarterback that's obviously gifted enough to at the NFL level to spin the ball around the park, which he is, but you got a quarterback that can handle all the plus one quarterback run game, the quarterback read game, and he's cool, calm, collected the way we saw Jalen Hurts 2 years ago that carried him to the Super Bowl. When it's that style, man, and you're good at it, it is a powerful brand of football. And so, it'll be fun to see what that looks like in a Buffalo Bills uniform this year.
Yeah, to me, this is much more on – I think the Dolphins, because like even though I think both teams have something to prove, it has been about 2 years. Anytime the Dolphins play, not just the Bills are 10-2 against the Dolphins in the last several years, but anytime they play a team that's a good team, Clint, they don't play well. They score 70 on the Broncos, they beat up on the Patriots, they beat up on the Jets when they've been down. They don't fare well against good teams. I think they need to prove to themselves and send a message to the league that, hey, we play somebody that is on our level or above our level, we can play. Yeah. We can play with them, and not just play with them, we can win games. Because I think that's the deal. I think a lot of people look at the Dolphins as a flashy, flashy team, but when it really matters and when they play somebody, that offense just doesn't flash. Like always, and they don't win. I think this is a huge game for them just mentally.
Yeah.
They got to prove that.
That's got to be the next step for the Dolphins right now. It absolutely has to be like you said, they've proven that they can produce and they can be explosive, but can you handle the more physical teams in the league? Can you play for four quarters, and when things aren't perfect and your offense isn't clicking on all cylinders, can you win games with your B game ultimately? I'm sure that's the messaging in that with that entire organization.
All right, as we are live here, coming up after this next segment, you'll chance to win $25 gift cards, Visa $25 gift cards. We'll do it after this segment. So if you're in here and you haven't signed your name in the raffle box, you might want to do that if you're on your way. Don't speed and break laws, but get on in here. You got about 15, 20 minutes before we hook up our first winner. The Astros stepped up and had a huge eighth inning thus far. We'll keep you updated and give you the latest happenings there. It was 2-2 when we last talked. We'll let you know what is going on as we continue live right here on The Drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Looks like the Astros busted that thing wide open in the eighth inning like a...
Tyler, bring it back!
What'd they do, Tyler?
toss it wide open, and I tell her bring it back.
Yeah, they put that thing wide open, like open
and I tell her bring it back.
Shannon Sharp entered that eighth inning and said, "Here, I got you.
Yeah,
man, let's go ahead and work this thing over." No, it was a 2-2 game, and with two outs, a big two out rally started by it's his date, John Singleton. Three hits, two doubles, and then the huge double he gets to give them the lead as Tucker got a hit and got a runner in scoring position. And then followed up by Jake Myers, who hit a double as well to score runs. And then Mauricio Dubon hit a two-run single as well. That lead ballooned to 6-2. So they have a four-run lead with Josh Hader on the mound in the ninth inning. And they got to feel a lot better right now because, Clint, that was – listen – obviously, you know, it wouldn't have been, oh, my God, you know, the sky's falling. Their lead would have dropped to 3 depending on what happens with the A's. I'm sorry, with the Mariners and the Padres. But they look like they're en route to winning this game as they lead 6-2. They had to have that happen. And it's the bottom of the order, man. That wasn't Alvarez and Bregman coming up with the big hit. That was Singleton, and that was Jake, and that was Dubon coming up with the big hit. So that was huge for them.
Yeah, look, it's big, obviously, to win this game and not get swept by these guys. It's huge for Tucker to be a part of the action there late with that single, pushing the ball to the left side of the infield versus a big pull infield.
Tuck time is coming.
Yeah. So it's good to see him. You know, got a single last night. Got a single here in that last at bat, and so. The rally's good. Getting a game with the A's is fine. Not getting swept by the A's is big. But for me, man, you mentioned it. Hunter Brown yesterday. You look at Framber Valdez today. And you get Kyle Tucker appears to be tracking that thing a little bit better. And
He's supposed to play in the outfield coming up.
Yeah, man.
In Anaheim this weekend.
I mean, look, these guys giving up home runs now. Damn. But that to me, that's the story of the rest of the season, if we're being honest. These starters, can they continue to roll? Talking about pitching, can they continue to roll? And then can Kyle Tucker get right?
Yeah, that's it. Kyle Tucker, and keep these injuries down. And hopefully, Jose Altuve's good, and there's nothing there with that in that situation. So 6-3 now as Josh Hader gives up a home run to Phil Nevin's kid. 6-3 now, the Astros lead in the ninth inning with one out, and we'll keep you updated on how this thing ends up here. All right, Clint, as we also get ready for Sunday's game, Sunday Night Football, the first time they've had a primetime game in almost 2 years. I'm gonna tell you what I took away. One of the things I took away from Sunday's game that I think we're in store for the rest of the way, Clint, and I'm excited about it, is this is about to be even more entertaining football offensively to watch from the Texans than it was last year.
Why you
and
say that?
And that was entertaining last year, but it will be even more because, Clint, the level of confidence, the level of a feel that CJ has in year two to go along with the weapons he has, like, he's going to try to make plays. He's going to try to make big plays. And we watched him repeatedly, Clint, go down and make some – no. Oh, okay. All right, CJ, go ahead. You got to make that throw. We've seen him hunt and go for the big play. Even misses down the field, he went – I think we're going to see CJ try to, I mean, put up 50 on people every week. Take the big play even more. I understand he likes the boring, but with the weapons he has, we started to see it against the Colts. CJ trying to push this thing down the field. CJ trying to make big plays, and I'm excited to see. I can't wait to see.
Look, I said this early in the season. In fact, it was the first day of training camp when CJ Stroud was interviewed. He talked about the focus of like what they're working on is being able to push the ball down the field more. And we watched them the first day of training camp. The first team period, they threw a go route to Nico Collins that got he got behind Stingley, and then they threw a seam route over the middle to Tank Dell that was caught. So it just seemed like the theme throughout camp offensively in the pass game was going to be, hey, we're going to be more aggressive. We're going to push the ball down the field. I said right there in that moment, all right, the story of this season for C.J. Stroud is going to be how does he manage the mindset of being aggressive but still producing in a way that he did last year where he's disciplined enough to take that boring stuff, the underneath stuff. And to me, that's the storyline here, right? There's no doubt about it. His mindset and their offensive approach was more aggressive like Absolutely. They were in training camp against the Colts. Oh. Now, the problem is then C.J. Stroud goes to the media, and C.J. Stroud says, left a lot of plays out there. It's not bad to take the boring stuff. Left a lot on the field.
Piece so of positivity.
Do we see C.J. Stroud go back to, hey, I'm going to take some of that boring stuff to open up the deeper stuff, and maybe he pulls back the reins a little bit on what you're talking about, Ron, with the aggressiveness. I agree with you.
I don't want him to.
I know you don't want him to. But what we watched in training camp and what we heard in training camp was, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to push the ball on the field.
We're going to put 40 on these jokers.
Now, the scary part is you won a lot of football games, and you are one of the best quarterbacks in the league taking that boring stuff with that mindset of, hey man, I'm just going to grow and develop and mature as a quarterback and get the ball out of my hand and let my playmakers make plays. So I do think it is a juggling act of what they end up doing.
Some of the boring stuff, though, was you don't have this version of Nico Collins
Absolutely.
All the way through.
That's why
you don't have
that's
Diggs.
Makes,
you don't have you know.
That's what
and,
makes
the,
it interesting. Dale. That's what makes it interesting, Ron. You got all your offensive linemen, and you really look. You've got three. If we go back to last year at this time, we didn't know who Nico was. We didn't know who Tank was. We didn't have Diggs. So you've literally got three weapons right now that a year ago today you didn't have any clue who they were or they weren't even on your team. And so it's a whole different mindset. Look at the way training camp went. It's a whole different mindset. Now if you go out there with that different mindset and your response is we left too many plays on the field,
that
juggle is going to be the storyline of the season.
That's an issue. Now, I do want to prepare – everybody in this Buffalo Wild Wings that are Texans fans, which I think is everybody on the roads listening. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And I think this is going to have them to be able to compete with the best teams of the league. Now, you are going to have to accept that there are going to be some frustrating turnovers when it comes to this. You saw it. He is more likely to put the ball in harm's way than he did last year. Multiple times he rolled all the way to the right and did, as I'm sure you've heard since you were younger playing quarterback, don't throw the ball across your body to the middle of the field late. He did it a couple of times. One of them he did get picked off. Now, I'll say that he's savvy enough to know that there was a penalty flag there, and that's why he did it. But he did it multiple times, and he's going for it. As you said, hey, the hell with the boring stuff. No, he went up top. He went up top. Like the ball he threw to Nico, that Nico went up to catch. I don't think that CJ throws that last year into double coverage to put it in harm's way. He's got confidence in himself, his skill players around him, and it's going to lead to, damn it, CJ, why did you throw that? But it's also going to lead to they're going to keep making plays, and they're going to put up points. So I'm excited to watch this. I just want to warn there's going to be some potentially frustrating picks or turnovers, because he's going to try to hold the ball and make plays. So I can't wait for that. All right. The Astros, they won the game. We'll get you caught up in exactly everything that happened there. The official injury report is out, Clint, for the Texans. There are some names that are added to that list with injury designations. We'll let you know the latest on that as well. And we got to listen to Joe Espada as he has to kind of take some steps back on the injury that he gave about Chaz McCormick. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Called third strike, ball game over.
Four. Astros win a game in this series, 6-3. They snap a three-game losing streak. Big John came through huge today. The Astros scoring four in that eight.
How about a desperate needed win for the Houston Astros as they come back big with four runs in the bottom of the eighth inning. They win 6-2, or 6-3, excuse me. Josh Hader did give up a home run in the ninth inning, but they win 6-3, avoid the sweep, and as they head to Anaheim, they get a W against the A's. Big, big game from John Singleton, three hits, two doubles, including the go-ahead game-winning single to score the run to break up the tie at two, and then Jake Byers with a big hit, followed by Dubon with a big hit, and they broke that thing open. Exactly what the Houston Astros needed to get done. Man, I'm telling you, John said, y'all better play me at first base. Y'all better give me this first base. I'm a bat flip. Got him a triple yesterday. You better let me have this first base.
Yeah, he's swinging it well. There's no doubt about it. So today was a good day. I don't want to get too excited about it. I don't want to celebrate too hard. It is the A's. And, you know, we just get through it and get healthy.
We're frustrated with this series.
I'm just saying,
you had to get this one. We'd be really pissed.
You all right over there? What got you?
I thought Ron was about to walk off the show or something. I saw Ron take his headphones off all aggressive and move them to the side. I was like, oh, my. What just occurred?
Thought somebody threw something.
Can nobody sneeze? Can't sneeze here real quick? Oh, man.
Bless you.
Excuse me. A little help. A little help here.
Hold on,
but, Joe. It's Ron, but that is the latest there as the Astros take care of business. They win 6-2. By the way, the injury report is officially out, Clint. Nico Collins shows up. He was limited in practice, but the injury designation is illness.
We don't
so,
like that.
You know, hopefully he is able to get through that and be good to go by Sunday. Damian Pierce was limited in practice with a hamstring issue. So he shows up there. We told you about Dalton Schultz and MJ Stewart, who did not practice for the second consecutive day. But also Clint Juice Scruggs with a groin issue. He is limited in practice again today as well. So Nico Collins, Damian Pierce, Juice Scruggs show up on the injury report alongside MJ Stewart and Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, a handful of names you'd rather not hear today. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But they played a physical game last week, man. That brand of ball, you're going to have some guys on the injury.
Yeah, but it seems like those guys practice. They'll be all right, just limited here. And to be honest with you, you know, the running back situation with Damian Pierce, you know, if he can't go, you feel pretty good about Cam Akers if he has to step in because of what he did in the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one good thing about the depth at the running back position, wide receiver position, corner position, defensive end position. Now, you don't want to lose any of those guys, but you feel pretty good about the depth there. You know, the only – I think there's a couple of positions, linebacker obviously, and tight ends probably the two positions that I think really stick out that you go, hey, man, if your starter gets injured there, you might have to change some things up, change the way you're doing things.
Yeah. So that's the latest injury report-wise, and I just got this also from Chicago, the injury report with the Bears. They're missing Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze for a second straight practice. Both of them didn't practice again today, so they could be out without two of their top three receivers, their top weapons. DJ Moore is the only one there, but he didn't go. Those two didn't practice today. They had some other guys that were limited, but they did not practice today. Those are the big names there, Clint, as we talked about earlier. They didn't practice, so that is one to watch and makes things a lot easier for D'Amico and a lot tougher for Caleb Williams if he is going without those two fellas.
You missing two of your top three. I mean, look, the Bears are one of those teams that's expected to have, at least when they're fully healthy, expected to have one of the better wide receiving cores in the building, just like the Texans in the NFL. So if you're missing, you catch the Bears when they're missing two of their top three wide receivers would be big.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest injury wise with the Texans and the Bears. All right, Tyler, do you have that? And I apologize. This is on me, Tyler. Do you have Joe Espada now giving the comments now on Chaz McCormick as Chaz McCormick was sent to the IL? If you remember yesterday, he talked about Chaz. Said Chaz was good, feeling good, a little sore, feeling good. They had the X-rays and there was no fracture. But then, a little later on after the game, there was a different tune spoken. If you have that, Tyler, let me hear what Joe was saying about Chaz McCormick now.
Oh yeah, so Chaz has a small fracture in his right hand, so obviously that will be NIL.
Are you rolling out the rest of the year? Or?
Oh, I can't tell. I can give you a timeline. Just right now, it's just, you know, obviously IL.
Do you have a corresponding year?
Not yet. No. All right, thank you guys.
All right, so
you know what my favorite part of that? I'm sorry, Ron. You know what my favorite part of that is? It's the very beginning where he is acting like, oh, it almost slipped my mind. Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
I should listen to this. Like, get the hell out of here.
I'm really curious. As I said, I will not believe a damn thing they say. I don't believe anything they're saying about Altuve. This is fine. Yeah, he said that's exactly what he's saying about Altuve right now. Exactly what he said about Chaz. A little sore. He's good. We saw the X-rays, and now we did get imaging. I said it yesterday. Why don't you wait till the imaging comes out before you just declare that he's good and there's no fracture? And he does have to go on the IL. I'm just wondering from you and the people, because it really annoys the hell out of me how they handle injuries. Like the what they do with the injuries, I'm just – does it bother everybody else?
I'm just
hell
over it.
Yeah.
Like I'm just over it at this point. Like it's what they're going to do. It's how they're going to handle them. Every it can't trust anything that comes out of their mouth, and they're.
Oh yeah.
The interesting part of it is it's one thing to handle it like the way Dusty did, which was the HIPAA comments.
Yeah, just don't tell you.
But even the silly stuff.
Well,
but it appears that they. Whether it's Dana Brown or Joe Espada, it appears that they try to give you the real of it, and they're just wrong.
Botch it.
Right?
Yes.
That's the interesting part. Typically, like, medicals are handled, like, tight to vest, like, and not because they don't want anybody to know, but more or less because it's such personal information, and you don't know a lot of the times. But these guys just, they botch it every time. It's just old hat for me, man.
Maybe that's why it bothers me. Like, Belichick... Like in certain NFL teams, I think Bill O'Brien was like this. Nick a little bit was like this before D'Amico and them got here, where they would just not tell you nothing, be closed to the we won't speak about it until they absolutely have to, until they have to. That's one thing. And like you said, Dusty, HIPAA, you could tell it's just, I just don't want to tell you anything. And a lot of it is, I just don't want the opponent to know.
I'm from a different generation.
But I think what you're saying is they're telling us stuff and just wrong. I mean, completely wrong about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like the amount of times in which they said Kyle Tucker is looking like he's close to getting back is just insane when he wasn't. And, I mean, anywhere close to it, like, it almost is like – it almost – almost makes you feel like, do they need to clean house in the entire medical? Are they like, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose.
It's not even a joke. That might be a real thing.
No, I'm serious. Like, I it makes me wonder, Tyler, are they?
Did these people fake their MDs?
Are they misdiagnosing this?
That's what I'm
saying. That's where it comes into me is like I don't know. Like I don't know. Or is Altuve good? Like, are they seeing the right stuff?
No. I mean, it's there's two things going on. The manager is awful at communicating.
Very.
And he has to talk to the media every day, and it's not easy to communicate about injuries.
It's not ideal.
And he's awful at that. And then you've got a general manager that feels the need to step all over the toes of that manager that's not good at communicating with the media.
And so that's the other part. They're not communicating with each other either. So they come out and say different things when they speak. And then
we'll get all these little phones.
You wonder, have they communicated with the medical staff? It is just I know there are some people will see it text in or message in that we're like you guys are being over, you know, over the top. I'm just like, is this not?
It's far from over the top.
Like when I saw Altuve walk out, and when I heard him come out and say, "Oh, he's fine," I thought to myself, and "That's what you said about Kyle. That's what you said about Chaz. That's what you said about Luis Garcia. It never seems to be smooth." Oh yeah, man. Hurt his hamstring. Gonna be out this long. Feeling better. It is never smooth. It always seems like they just.
Well, I mean, even if you want to be a little bit transparent with it, there is a way to be a little bit transparent with it, right? It's, I mean, like you said, I don't think it has anything to do with the Astros medical staff. I'm sure they're top flight. I'm sure they're some of the most elite in the game in big league sports. But at the end of the day, it's like those, they don't meet.
Yeah, they clearly don't.
I'm not sure anyone over there knows how to read an X-ray or an MRI.
I would. You're right.
I mean, I've never met a coach that reads X-rays or MRIs, right?
I mean, no, clearly, but somebody is. I mean, Joe said yesterday pregame verbatim, we did an X-ray and there was no fracture. An X-ray is supposed to show you if there's a damn fracture.
Yeah, but Tyler, I bet you that there.
The same X-ray a day later had a fracture on it.
But I bet you, Tyler, there would be something with the medical staff that they communicated, like Joe, and said, "Hey, Joe, we still need to make sure we get all of this imaging before we completely know."
That's fair. That's fair.
You know what I mean? Yeah, before we completely know, and they don't communicate.
We hadn't seen anything yet, but there's some swelling in there that may, or we need to do further imaging.
But to your point,
and he walks out there, and the media starts asking questions, and he just can't field them.
But to your point, Clint, I was saying yesterday, you might want to hold off on the. Yeah, man, I think we're good if you haven't seen all the imaging. Like,
it would make sense now, right?
And he said, "Nah, man, he's good." Now he had to come back on. All right, what you got coming up?
All right, I got to give a little bit more credit. We talked a lot about Kenyon Green in that last game. I've finished up that tape and watched it from a little different lens, and I can't put this one to bed without giving these couple of guys some serious love. And then there's one concern coming from the game that I got to believe that the Bears are going to take or are going to at least try to take advantage of and try to attack the Houston Texans defense. I'll tell you exactly where that's at and what it's about. I'll tell you that next right here on Sports Radio 610.